podcast is part of the Cannabis Media Collective. To enjoy all of the podcasts within the collective, just go to your favorite streaming app or site and subscribe to the Cannabis Media Collective. For more info, check out distinctmedia.ca.
Do you like employees who stare blankly at you as you read their order and then they get it wrong anyway?
Do you like eating just a bunch of bacon and eggs when you got rock gut from bacon and eggs?
Do you wonder often what a McDonald's ripoff menu would be?
Do you like a coffee that tastes like it's been strained through a pair of underwear?
Do you want the... Do you like Paul Rudd?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Then come on
in. That's simple. My theory is that dark roast is like them going, man, we're throwing out a lot of coffee that's just sitting there getting burnt. We should do something with it. And then they're like, wait a minute. What if we sold it as dark roast? It's barely coffee anyway.
We cook it.
See, the trick is that we roast it once it's brewed. That's our trick. That's our secret at Tim's.
At Tim's, your coffee is just a conduit for cream and sugar.
We made too many cups and we really have to sell them.
Dark roast. It's post-cooked.
Post-cooked. Sounds like a new sort of like food fad.
Yeah,
oh, you haven't had post-cooked yet? You mean leftovers? Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. No, I've had that before.
That's the genre that the new 7-0 album is in.
It's in post-cooked. It's post-cooked shoegaze. Shoegaze always makes me laugh as a song style.
I like it.
I know it's great, but it's just the name of it. Just it's so descriptive.
I'd like to do some Fugazi covers, but in a shoegaze style, and call it Shoegazi.
Shoegazi. Okay. So I'm not the only one who thinks shoegaze should have been pronounced Shoegazi. Apparently.
Shoegazi.
That's really funny. Oh man.
Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. This is powered by Tim right here.
Does anybody remember how Tim Horton died? That's a crazy story.
No.
He got all hopped up on goofballs. That's going to be our...
Hopped up on goofballs.
I love that term.
Which is also something else we should be bringing back. Yeah,
that's a good term. Where are the goofballs at?
He got a little psychopathic and drove the wrong way down the QEW between Hamilton and St. Catharines and died in a fiery car crash.
Jesus.
Oh no, Tim Hortons.
Always fresh.
Yeah, always fresh. Funny, this is my Tim Hortons fun fact, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I do trivia. Tim Hortons doesn't have an apostrophe, right? It doesn't have an apostrophe. I drew one on mine, but it doesn't have an apostrophe. So why doesn't it have an apostrophe? It should, because his name is Tim Horton. And it's Tim Horton's restaurant was because of the Quebec laws, the language laws in Quebec for signage say that all signs must be French or bilingual. So in order to just, you know, be the simplest thing possible, they remove the apostrophe, jam the S against it, and it's now called Tim Hortons, plural. Boo.
No, that's great. That's actually true.
Hey, the Bloc Quebecois is going to hold a lot of cards in our country now. So I think we all have to kiss Quebec's ass a little bit now.
Well, maybe a little bit. I'll tell you what else about Tim Hortons. I got a lot of Tim Hortons material. They have the most unflattering uniforms ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once saw a Tim Hortons employee out of her uniform, not like just. Meaning out of context, I didn't mean like I went to the drive-thru and got lucky. I'm saying I saw her out in public and I was like, oh my gosh, you're actually attractive. Because the Tim Hortons uniform just removes all, oops, there you go, that just happened. Yep. All traits, all sort of definition.
Male and female.
Male and female, exactly, the same thing. Same thing happened later.
Male Tim Hortons uniforms make them look a little bit like a donut making elf.
Yes.
It's
the high-waisted pants.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
No.
I feel like the designer, when coming up with the design, he thought to himself, like, how can I make everyone look like an old maid?
Right. He was like, you know what I hate? Sexual harassment in the workplace. And I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen because I'm going to make everyone super unattractive.
And that person, Hugo Boss. I hit it right into the park with the Nazi uniforms, but I'm going to bring it back into the realm of man.
And you get some the brown and the you got the browns in there. You got some just a bit of red, a little dash of red.
A vision in earth tones.
I could see it being like a white supremacist uniform, like that uniform, like a you know what I mean.
Like the old school Tim Hortons uniform could be like an army. Like
bring back morality.
Well, it's got that North Korean sort of palette of colors, yeah. Right?
Yes, it does. It looks like you've walked into like a demilitarized zone, and they're serving coffee, which is nice. But then you find out the coffee's not very good, so you're just like, okay.
Everyone looks depressed,
and it's actually
everyone does look really depressed.
Yeah,
there's some general malaise.
You realize it's just a canteen in your army camp and you're actually forced to be in there.
Yeah. And there's no Hawkeye Pierce to save the day. That's for sure.
Who's Hawkeye Pierce?
MASH.
Yeah, MASH. Hawkeye.
And this is the number one MASH podcast now because we just mentioned MASH. It's never been mentioned on a podcast before.
The first mention.
Yeah.
Yep. Terrence Rod does trivia. He's backed it up.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It's true. Yep. Number one.
The theme song is super depressing.
Mm-hmm. It's called Suicide is Painless. It has words. Yeah. That makes it even more depressing.
Yeah, they sing it in the movie, actually.
Do they? Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
The movie is not like the TV show.
No.
It is dark.
It's a drama. Like, yeah.
It is. Well, it's Robert Altman. So there's always like funny parts to it because it's Robert Altman and like he lets people improv and do that kind of stuff. But yeah, the movie itself does not move along. It's very episodic. It's very based on the book.
How many characters? I think only like one or two characters from the movie transpired over to the show.
Actors
over actors. I mean,
characters. They're all of the characters are pretty much the same.
Okay,
it's just the antagonist characters kind of switch throughout the series. But yeah, it was. I think it was the guy who played Radar. Was in the movie and then also in the TV show, and I forget who the other one was, but
I do remember some
Donald else. Sutherland is Hawkeye in the movie.
Oh yeah. Weird. I mean, I guess he would have been way younger. I'm just picturing Donald Sutherland now playing Hawkeye.
I have a hard time picturing him without a briefcase.
Donald Sutherland?
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
I see him now ever since I've seen him with a big white beard. Like he's got a big white beard. Not like that's it. I can't unsee. Like I can't be like, what does he look like without the beard now? Like, well, Kiefer Sutherland, I guess.
Like a stretched out
Kiefer, yeah,
Kiefer yes. Sutherland. If you put him in the taffy press from Willy Wonka and you pulled him,
all hail Kiefer Sutherland.
I drank with Kiefer Sutherland when I was in Calgary.
Oh yeah?
No way.
Then you drove away? That was the time? That was that time?
If people had a coin for every time someone got drunk with Kiefer Sutherland in Calgary, there would be a lot of millionaires in Calgary.
Did he live there or something?
Yeah, he I think he's originally from there, but he was filming something for a considerable amount of time and he made his way around the drinking holes.
Nice. City. Yeah. He likes his drinks.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson also spent a large amount of time when I lived in Calgary, and it was very interesting to drive down the street and just be like, that's Samuel Jackson. One, because it's Samuel Jackson too, because there are very, very few like 6'5" black guys in Calgary.
Yeah. Okay. I figured that would be one of the reasons. You're like, look at that badass guy. Wait a minute.
I'm not being snap racist. That is Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Right. That guy looks like him. Wait, that is him. That'd be mental. I always thought of that where because people say you see celebrities in real life and they don't look the same because they don't have makeup on and the camera changes, you know. The look of the person, camera adds 10 pounds or whatever you want to say. So a lot of times you see someone in real life, you're like, that's them. Or you have that doubt, right? You go, is it them? So I wonder like how that was. Like you see him, but Sam Jackson is like a caricature of himself almost.
Like, yeah, he had a Kangol hat on when I saw him.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Yeah. He was just shouting motherfucker everywhere all the time.
No, he was really nice. He was very sweet. I met him at a bar I was working at and he was super nice to the staff, stayed after closing and drank with the bartenders.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, this guy's like pretty awesome.
Seems like the type because he's like, he doesn't say no to any role. He'll be in anything. You know what I mean? Anybody say you want it? Okay, sure.
Try anything once kind of fella.
Yeah. So of course it seems like the guy who'd do that and just, you know, be nice to all the fans and all that. And
he was shooting the, I think it was he did two movies in a row in Calgary. One was The Red Violin, and one was Resurrecting the Champ. So yeah, that was
it
was
nice. I love The Red Violin.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. Great movie. You know who else was really nice to fans? I was watching Jablinski, Jack Black's YouTube channel. Okay. So Jack Black started a YouTube channel for like gaming and stuff. So it's called Jablinski Games, but he covers a lot of the Tenacious D stuff. And so they were touring in Brazil, and with Foo Fighters and Weezer. Okay. So it's like, yeah, Tenacious D, Foo Fighters, and Weezer on tour down there. And so he's filming all the, you know, behind the scenes of them going, playing all these games. And you see him like stop constantly to take photos and sign stuff for people. And you know, and he knows how to speak Spanish because, you know, it's important to know how to speak Spanish if you live in the States, you know what I mean? So he's conversing with all of them, cracking jokes in Spanish too and making them laugh. And so they love him. They love Jack Black. They love Tenacious D down there. But it was cool to see how much attention he put into the fans.
I saw Tenacious D at the Opera House in Toronto.
Nice.
It was a good show. It was fun. It was one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
They're so great.
And like, they're also really, really great musicians. Mm-hmm. Like, way better than I expected them to be.
Yeah, they've gotten, and especially Jack Black, he was like, he got way better. From the beginning, he said it himself, how he's like, at first he just kind of knew how to play a little bit, but then he had to really up his game.
The HBO show is incredible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like the open mic host, when he had to read their intro every episode. If you want your asses blown out, stay in the room. And it's always prefaced with, the next band wanted me to read this.
That's right. He had to warn them. These are not my words.
Yeah.
These are not my words. Flight of the Conchords was another one that was good like that. I saw them live as well. That was really cool.
He's an Oscar. Brett's an Oscar winner.
It's insane, eh? Yeah.
For the Muppets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jermaine is like a good actor.
What, have you guys seen What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes.
Only parts of it. I know. So I keep trying to watch, but always at the wrong time.
We're werewolves, not werewolves.
Yeah. But they made a show of it.
Yes.
With Matt Berry, who's one of my favorite comedic actors or whatever, but pretty good.
Have to check
so we're here, sick. By the way.
We're here.
We should probably intro the show.
Is it, oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're just we're rolling. Yeah, we are here. This is the Flower Hour podcast.
Brought to you by Tim Hortons.
We're almost 13 minutes deep.
Yeah, this is like a Joe Rogan episode. This is fantastic. So, guys, we are talking about Tim Hortons. We've compared it to North Korea.
We did. That seems so long ago.
Yeah. Right? So we're bumbling around. We
took care of the 50 plus demographic with our MASH talk.
Yes, we talked about that. Right. We talked about MASH for the first time in podcasting history.
50 plus listeners, we see you.
Yeah. Next week, we talk Quincy.
Ooh. Playing doctor, are we?
Medical examiner.
Even better.
So yeah, we're here. Francois Jacques from Mac Flash Entertainment is in studio with us.
Hello.
We're gonna talk movies. We're gonna talk a little bit about Halloween upcoming. Lalloween, if you're from France.
Lalloween.
So yeah, Francois, thank you for being here.
Not a problem. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Francois is wearing a Weird Al Yankovic hat, it makes me happy.
I've never seen one of those before. That's amazing.
It's great. I got it on like from one of the tours. I never buy merch when you go to cons because it's super expensive. And I was like, I'm not gonna buy anything. And second of all, my head, you guys can't tell, is gigantic. And so I can't buy hats. When I showed up to the Weird Al Yankovic show and there was this hat and it was this style and it fit my head, I was like, it's meant to be.
Yeah. I also suffer from that affliction.
us geniuses do. Yes.
Yeah. Dan Sutton from Tantalus Labs sent me some hats. So those fit my head. So thank you, Dan, for accommodating the full figured noggin of mine.
Also, a noggin. Quick thank you to the Carnival Tent Sale Company for working with Dan Sutton on building the hats.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I mean, they engineered a grow facility. They engineered hats. It's fantastic, and they threw in a Men Who Take Baths discount for Dan as well.
Ooh.
Who knows? Maybe we're gonna have to take a bath. Too.
I think. Yeah. I think I'd be willing to do that.
I would too. I like a bath.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I don't know.
Little Enya. Scented candle. No.
I listened to. A
I don't
podcast.
Know why you guys are laughing right now.
No, it's you have to have me time. Self care, man. Self care.
Self care. Self care. What is our equivalent of a bath? Like, because honestly, do you take baths? Like,
I have arthritis, so I take baths for purely functional reasons.
it's therapeutic.
Like twice a year for me, maybe twice a year. But I always enjoy it. I'm always like, what do I do this for?
I feel like C-3PO every time I get into a bath. It's great because I'm lubricating my joints.
Yeah, I tried it.
There's sand everywhere.
I must have some sort of weird, like, adult ADD because I get into a bath and, like, a minute in, I'm like, well, I'm done. This is terrible. What did I do this?
You didn't put the Enya on.
Maybe that's the problem.
I'm forgetting
the Enya.
I've been on Health Canada conference calls from the bath. I've been on business conference calls from the bath. Nice. As long as you don't splash around, it's fine. Nobody knows.
Or go, hey, what does this camera button do? Whoops.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate. Yeah.
Just put some tape over your camera before you do it.
Good idea. That's just a good policy for anyone who has a camera integrated into a device. It's kind of that camera.
After I saw Snowden.
Yeah.
Like, people always said that, do that. And I was like, whatever. But after I saw Snowden, I was like, maybe I'm going to get some tape.
Yeah. It'll surface like you run for politics 15 years from now, and then there's just you in the O face.
That's right. This is why
in your messy apartment.
That's why I don't I try not to do anything too important or too, like, you know, I just kind of coast because that's why I was like, I'll just share anything with Google. Privacy, who cares? I don't care. Just put that out there because I'm never gonna do
it. It's like the Mark Twain adage, right? Anyways.
Yeah. He said that. He didn't say that. Mark Twain, remember. He's like, anyways, it's a classic. It's a classic Twainism. Classic Twainism.
Yeah, Mark Twain. He also said, eventually they're going to ban my books because I use the N-word completely in context.
That's right. Yeah, because I didn't know that was a thing. Because I live now, not in the future.
Like, I was actually very progressive on race relations, but now you're going to ban my book. Cool. Thanks.
Imagine, like, think of a word that everyone says right now that, like. Well, I guess it's not hard to imagine because we've lived it.
Yeah, we're an accelerated word cancellation now.
You're right. You're right.
Mark Twain, actually, I heard that he penned the word "bayable."
Bam.
Still as relevant now as he was when Haley's comet went across the sky and he died.
I'm the weird factor.
Yeah, Tim.
I like to bring the weird factor.
Tim's bringing a new energy into the studio. It's a different show.
Stay on your toes.
Yeah, Tim had the middle name of Dangerous for a long time.
Yeah.
You're not so dangerous anymore.
No.
I feel like your brother has taken the Dangerous title.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, I got that name in science class because our teacher handed us the syllabus for the semester. And he said, I'm only giving you guys one of these, and that's it. And I took my friend Jay Santa Rosa's and ripped it in half slowly and just looked staring at him. And he's like, man, what am I going to do? And I'm like, watch this. And as the teacher walked by, I just grabbed one from him. He I think thought he forgot to give someone one. And then Jay was like, that was dangerous.
That's great. I love that.
I don't think I've ever been actually dangerous.
I mean, there's been dangerous moments.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
maybe not like on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe you weren't being dangerous. I never beat. You just did something, and that was dangerous.
I've never beat anyone unconscious with a chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I feel like that. Like that would be something dangerous.
Well, like
to get the nickname Dangerous yeah. Tim.
I also think there's not enough people using chains as weapons.
That's
a holdover for like late 60s biker movies.
But the Outsiders,
yeah, like Annette Funicello gets really scared because someone's swinging a chain. And
the problem with a chain is like in order to inflict any damage, it's got to be a certain length. And then if it's too long, how are you carrying this thing around? Like, yeah. You have a satchel for it? You have a bag of chains? Or if you can take it out, it's like a bird's nest. It got all tangled. You hold on, like your headphones in your pocket. You pull out your chain. You're like, hold on, I'll be in the fucking
second. I have to detach my wallet now.
That's what your chain is like.
Opening the chain
like case. A 90s skater. Whipping the Velcro lets go and just whips change at you in your face. Like, ah, he got me with shrapnel. Ah.
We gotta go through some scenes from movies where there's a guy with a chain.
Yeah, I feel like the Warriors. There's some chains.
Oh yeah,
in the Warriors.
So it's one or two guys.
There's a chain. Die Hard. He uses a chain to hang like the German dude and slam into the wall. That's a classic.
That is.
Oh yeah.
Classic Christmas movie.
Classic Christmas.
So what were we on about?
Chains.
What were you saying? Before chains?
Two chains.
Two chains.
We're on the hip hop segment.
Still, no, we're coming upon Halloween. So I'm gonna steer the ship. We're coming upon Halloween. Thank
you. Chains. Ghosts. Halloween. Yeah. Makes sense.
Oh, I know. The old timey ghosts. Chains. It all comes together. They all wear caps like Tim. They
extra. Read all about it.
And I spent the weekend watching some movies. I watched the first three Scream movies. Didn't watch Scream 4. So I'm getting into the horror movie Halloween vibe. But I wanted to ask. I know, Francois, you're not a big horror movie guy.
Not at all. No.
But you like Halloween movies.
I do.
That's a little different. I think it's a distinction we need to make.
A little bit, yes. It's true. That's usually what I bring to the conversation. We did a trivia last year, and that's what it was. It was like, we said we weren't making a horror movie trivia. We're going to do a Halloween trivia. Mm-hmm. So I said, you take care of the horror stuff, and I'll take care of the Halloween stuff. So that's kind of like, yeah, that's my perspective on
it. Like, E.T.'s a Halloween movie.
Yeah, 100%.
It's just like how Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
That's right.
You can be out of genre, but you can still use the backdrop of the holiday, and I think that's something that we can talk about.
Yeah, it's great because like Gremlins, you can watch at Halloween and at Christmas, and it feels right both times.
Yeah,
Nightmare Before Christmas, same thing.
Yep.
You could watch it now. It's Halloween, but it's also Christmas. You can watch it Christmas.
I like it, Tim. Do you have one? Do you have a favorite horror movie?
I watched a horror movie recently. I guess it's called The Laundromat.
Okay,
but it's not a horror movie. It's about just the financial system, but in that way, it's kind of a horror movie.
Oh, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, The Big Short. I think The Big Short's like a horror movie.
This one's Steven Soderbergh and Meryl Streep plays the lead. It was pretty
nice.
Good. But
nice.
Now, as far as classic Halloween or horror movies, I've always liked Army of Darkness for like horror.
Yeah.
But for a Halloween movie, I don't know if I really can think of any.
I feel like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, might be my favorite Halloween movie.
Oh, yeah?
That's the one without Michael Myers.
Oh, okay.
So, it's a John Carpenter movie, and it's the third in the Halloween trilogy, but John Carpenter didn't want to do another Michael Myers movie because he felt it was played out, so he had a completely different...
So, concept. He was contractually obligated to make a movie, but he didn't want to.
Well, I think his original thing is he wanted to do an anthology. He wanted Halloween to be like this. It's a different experience every year.
Okay.
But like the first one was so huge that they had to do the second one because Michael Myers was such a big hit. So when the third one came around, Season of the Witch is about haunted Halloween masks. And it's like a huge corporate conspiracy of like this evil coven of witches who are creating these Halloween masks that if played, like a commercial is played and the masks essentially like burn the heads off kids. And that's
okay.
So it's
that took a leap from stabbing people to
like the movie itself is actually quite well done, and it's like really, really like it's more horrifying than any because it's like this like anti-corporate tale of like malfeasance more than anything else. Yeah. And like, there's a guy who's unraveling it, and like, he's getting deeper and deeper. So like, it's not really a horror movie; it's a Halloween movie.
Nice.
But like, it has the commercial that like triggers the masks plays throughout the whole movie, and it's the most annoying song that burrows into your skull for days afterwards.
I'll put it in for sure.
Yeah, Tim's gonna put it into the background of this episode. And your heads are gonna melt off from annoyance, but at the same time, it like ingrains into your head and it like heightens the movie. The movie itself gets like even more intense because like
every time you hear it.
Every time you hear it, you're just like, and it counts down. It's eight more days till Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. And then it goes to 7, then it goes to 6. And like, you're seeing this horrible thing unfold over these days. And this guy's trying to stop it, but nobody believes him. Nobody believes the conspiracy. And he's trying to unravel this conspiracy that's going to kill all these kids.
That's interesting.
It's probably my favorite Halloween movie of all time. Okay. But if you're like a huge Michael Myers fan, it's probably the most disappointing movie of your entire life. If you're really expecting the third Michael Myers installment, and it's just like, oh no, this guy's gonna do this weird,
not in this one.
Completely left turn. And yeah,
I think I'm gonna watch it.
Same.
It's actually it's quite good. And like, I'm a John Carpenter super fan, so I will watch anything John Carpenter makes.
Yeah.
But that might be my favorite Halloween movie overall.
Nice. You know, one I thought of that I do like that's kind of more on the horror, but I think I like it because it is a little bit kind of comedic as well, as Slither.
Mm-hmm.
Slither's a good one.
I don't think I've seen that.
No? That's really good.
It's good. It's definitely funny.
Yeah.
It's very tongue-in-cheek. Actually, Scream is really funny.
Scream, yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh, okay. Like, other than having to suspend my disbelief that David Arquette and Courtney Cox got married in real life and mm-hmm. Romantic interests of each other, like
he's not doing well these days, is he?
He's like,
he did a voiceover for some whack movie recently. He really was the only like actor,
the only name on it.
Yeah, I think it was called Skate Dog.
Okay,
one of those.
And it's remember the bulldog that skateboards? they made a movie.
Okay.
And it's
Skate Dog.
And David Arquette's his voice.
And he's the voice, I think, of the dog.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
He's not talented. Like, he's not good at stuff.
I get the feeling that Scream was one of those movies where, because it was kind of the start of a new era for mm-hmm. those, like, kind of horror movies. And it was right during the time where, like, things like Friends and stuff was super popular.
Yep.
So I think they were like, let's take that sort of feel of, like, what we get in the sitcom of that sort of group. And then put them in a horror situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you get that sort of like that feel where you're like, why does this feel like?
It's like you get Nev Campbell, who was in Party of Five. You get,
yeah.
You get Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet Ulrich, that's right.
Which, if you
best
watch
name
the,
ever,
if
by
you
the
watch
way.
The if you watch the Scream movies, you can't help but yell Skeet, Skeet, Skeet. It's actually the Scream movies they're quite funny. They're quite engaging. Like you. Because we've all watched them before, you know where they're going. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, like this isn't bad. And then the second Scream also isn't that bad. Like Laurie Metcalf is in the second Scream.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, and she's pretty fantastic in it. And then the third Scream's not very good, but
I don't know. I know I've seen one, maybe two, not three.
Liev Schreiber also, he's very, very small part in the first Scream, and his role expands throughout the series. And
he's great.
He's quite good. Like, overall, it's a good cast. Matthew Lillard, Canada's own Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
He carries
Hackers.
Yeah. Rose McGowan, I forgot how gruesomely she dies in the first movie. Sorry, spoiler.
spoiler.
This movie that came out in 1996, if you haven't seen it, sorry, I've just spoiled it for you that Rose McGowan dies.
I saw, in the same vein of movies, I saw I Know What You Did Last Summer in theaters.
Ooh.
Just to date myself a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters when it came out. Yeah.
I saw Scream in theaters when it came out. I was probably not supposed to be in that theater, but me and Spencer Wozniacki and Dan Marjanovic went to that movie way back in the day. And
we've mentioned them a few times on this podcast.
Wozniacki?
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned the doctor, the good doctor
really?
Wozniacki.
Haven't we? Oh, maybe.
I want him on the show.
Maybe it's just you've mentioned it to me. And,
yeah.
And,
it's possible. Yeah. We need Dr. Quaz on the show.
We should get him on.
I'm working on it. My buddy is a bodybuilding doctor who does like healthcare, like does like fitness training.
That's awesome. Dr. Quaz, you call him?
Dr. Quaz.
You should really have him on, but have him like ask him all sorts of medical questions that don't pertain to his expertise.
Oh no! That
should totally be the bit.
Can you take a look
at Dr. Quaz?
Show? I have a weird.
I have a rash.
Yeah, weird looking mole.
I wonder, if it was necessary, if you just pick up a patient and just toss him or snap him in half or something, just because he's so huge, right?
He's not huge though. He's not a big dude. He's just very jacked now.
Well, yeah, and he's so jacked.
Yeah, I mean, he's like palpating like an abscess, and it just pops inside the person's face or something.
Right. Oops, sorry.
Needed to drain it anyway.
What are you gonna do? That's why we got malpractice insurance.
So yeah, that would be my favorite Halloween movie. I'd say is *Season of the Witch*.
I'm gonna check that out.
But Naomi and I also watched a movie called *Crawl* this weekend.
Oh, that's the father-daughter alligator movie.
The father and daughter.
That's the best description.
Who's the man? The guy that plays the dad?
It is Barry Pepper, Canadian actor. Isn't Barry it? Pepper plays the father.
I thought it was somebody else.
Another
male lead in the movie.
There isn't. There's only like two people.
I thought Kirk Douglas was in it or something.
I did not see it. I wish Kirk Douglas was in it. He plays the alligator. The alligator suit.
Yeah, he plays the alligator. He mo-capped the alligator.
No, there's two people who get stuck in a basement in Florida, which any good movie starts that way.
Right.
And alligators come up through the sewer, and like it's during a hurricane, and it's probably like it definitely makes you want to go to Florida, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And they have to escape the the flood and the alligators and the flood, and like the alligators seem to have no problem with the hurricane because they're alligators. And
right.
No,
like, let's just go hide under the water because we can do that.
Yeah. So the movie itself, it was fun. I like a monster movie. We talked about this in the last episode, my love of Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I love a monster movie. Lake Placid, another one of my favorites. So mm-hmm. It kind of had those vibes, but it didn't have the fun factor that I was looking for. But like, it was like a tight little hour and a half movie. I can't ask for much better than
right.
Like, get me in, get me out. Like,
Crawl.
Yeah.
You know, when it's really fun, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods.
I was going to mention that one, actually.
That's a great one. That's like taking every trope and just turning it. That's why, that's the kind of stuff I like. Cause it's like, I would never watch a Cabin in the Woods type horror movie. Like, oh yeah, skip. I'm going to watch something else. And it's not about like, it's just, I'd rather watch something else than that. But then this one has all the twists and all the like, it takes all the tropes and says, oh, let's do that with that. Let's do that.
The gas station attendant that goes on this big spiel. his dark speech.
Yeah. It's so great. The whole thing is really good. I just caught the end of it the other day when, like, spoiler alert, when they open up all the elevators at once, and there's all hell. There's like a ridiculous amount of blood in that hallway at one point. Just like it feels like seven buckets at once. It's like, whoosh. It was so great. Such a great movie.
Yeah, I really liked it just purely because I like a funny horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a tightrope to walk tone wise for a filmmaker. Like, there aren't that many out mm-hmm. there. But like, if you can make me laugh and it be a horror movie, it is exactly what I'm like.
Evil Dead does that.
Yeah. Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, that was a good one too.
That is an amazing movie. Again, first of all, isn't one of my favorites Dave Franco in that? Is he not in there?
He's your favorite Franco.
My favorite Franco. You know what? That's pretty close. I don't know what. I love Dave Franco.
Fair. That's fair.
I love Dave Franco. I love his voice.
You just want to give him a noogie.
Yeah, I know. He's got that voice when he talks. I just want to hear him talk all the time. And it's not a nice sounding voice. It's no Barry White or Morgan Freeman or some other smooth voice black person. You. I don't know why.
I'd like to get Dave Franco to do an impression of Morgan Freeman now.
Yeah, just because.
Crossover.
Yeah. Tim kind of sounds like Dave Franco.
I was going to say, he probably reminds you of a friend you had growing up or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Because he's like, I don't know. I always think he plays the greatest characters. In Neighbors or Bad Neighbors, whatever It's been given two names, but the one with Seth Rogen and moves next door to what's his face, Disney Boy. What's his face, Disney Boy? That is my description.
One of the Jonas Brothers? Is it one of the Jonas Brothers?
Is it Transformers?
Zac Efron.
He's like an honorary Jonas Brother.
He's like a Jonas cousin.
Jonas cousin.
So that movie's really funny. But like Dave Franco's in that movie's like the psych, like the second in command or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Such a great movie. Not a Halloween movie.
There's
a Halloween scene for sure.
Any movie can be a Halloween movie. That's the other thing is it's everyone's just making believe in movies. So like to me, it's Halloween's our is the holiday where everybody gets to play make believe. So I have no issue with that. I think every movie can kind of fall into that category in some way or another. So do you guys have any Halloween costumes that are coming this year? That's why you have kids. So, like, and Tim, you have Milo.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going as this year. I think he's 16, almost 17 now. So it's like, I don't know. He'll probably go to a friend's
house and have to terrorize that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah. Or just, yeah.
Like, get some Prince Igor and like fucking paint the town.
Hopefully not. I think he's more like a Settlers of Catan type kid. Okay. Maybe, but
no, that's good.
That's what you want.
Straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Get that resource management under control.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I don't know. I was thinking if I'm working on Halloween, I might wear just have some really creepy glasses to work and do the Alpine rope toss with my hair like parted because I'm going bald. Just slick it down and just go as Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, yeah.
Just wear something nerdy maybe. Yeah.
Bring a lunchbox with body parts or something.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah,
you probably get a seven.
I think I have a Pee-wee's Playhouse lunchbox, actually.
Nice. There's like the dollar store's been selling like these like little like severed hands and feet and stuff. I bought some for my little cemetery decorations.
But I think it's even creepier if I don't do that. If I just wear the glasses and like maybe just a buttoned up
shirt,
polo, and just creepily just be really quiet and stare at things a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Because then people might not know it's a dog.
You're zigging costume. Where everyone else on your staff is going to zag.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to go zany and like obvious. Yeah.
Oh, it's the bourbon. I feel like there's going to be people who are scantily clad who are on your staff during Halloween. I feel like that's probably going
to
happen.
Walk up to coworkers like, hi, Dawson.
Just stare at them. Just stare very intently.
I don't know. What about you, Francois?
I was actually, it's funny because on my way here, I remembered a meme that was like that I saw, and I was like, man, I should do that the next Comic Con I go to. But I'm like, oh, I should just do it for Halloween. The meme was like, it's you guys like Marvel movies?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so it was I'm just a civilian starter pack. The MCU, I'm just a civilian starter pack, and it's basically like a generic blue hat, aviator glasses, a leather jacket, and then they show like basically anytime any of the heroes have had to be like. You know, undercover. Surreptitious and undercover, like kind of like incognito mode. They all wear exactly the same aviator glasses, a blank, like blue baseball hat, either a hoodie or a leather jacket over a white t-shirt and jeans. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to dress up like that. And then people are going to be like, I don't know what you're supposed to be. And I'm like, exactly. Exactly. You're not supposed to know. I'm Captain America. That's exactly it. Like, I'm Captain America. Or I'm Tony Stark. There's one with Tony Stark wearing a blue hoodie too. So you can just pull that one off.
And now I'm Falcon.
Yeah, see? I figured I could be like any incognito MCU character.
I like once. That.
Yeah.
Naomi and I always have like good ideas, but we end up doing nothing for Halloween. But like
a lot of work.
Last year, our idea was Hulk and Oates. So it was Hall and Oates, but one of us would be Hulk.
Yeah, that is amazing. First of all, you should totally do that because I love pun costumes. So that's great.
Yeah, and
I
don't know what the backlash for Greenface would be, though.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful of that. Got to be careful. My kids went for Greenface at the zombie walk. You know, they got looks.
What I want to know, and this is totally off topic, but if I pitch my voice down and talk like Barry White, Is
doing black voice racist?
Is it audio blackface or?
I feel like if you are disparaging in what you were saying in that, it's probably going to be looked upon
and
very differently.
I agree.
And not even just the words, like the tone, right? So if you start doing like a caricature,
yes,
than kind of like, okay, the Tropic Thunder, where no one's going to do it. I know. Everybody just, everybody be comfortable in the fact that we are not going to do this. But in Tropic Thunder, there's that part where, because Robert Downey Jr. does blackface in there, which, by the way, no one ever mentioned in these blackface things. And he was nominated for an Oscar for that performance. So there you go.
In the movie and in real life.
Yeah, exactly. But he does that thing at one point where he starts talking about the food, right? We're going to make some crawfish and some whatever, whatever. And yeah. and then Al Pacino, the other black guy in the team is like, oh, is that how we all sound, right? And so that's the thing. So the whole time, he's okay with him portraying a black man. But as soon as he starts talking in that sort of stereotypical, yeah. you know, way, which I know we all want to do it, but we're not going
to. I'm not going to.
No, but that's what, you know, so I think that's that difference. Like, depends.
I agree.
But at the same time, then that brings up the whole argument of like, so you're saying like, if I'm just doing a character, like if I sing like Barry White and I impress Barry White, right? Yeah. I'm just doing an impression.
Yeah.
That's what people who do blackface say.
Yeah.
Right? I was just doing an impression. I was just doing a character. I'm being buckwheat. I'm being this guy, right? Yeah. So it's such a fine line.
It's just maybe buckwheat's just out of bounds now. Maybe white people just don't get to.
Yeah, you don't get to do buckwheat now. Yeah, you don't get to do any of that, actually.
No,
yeah,
it's, no. Well, like, it's one of those things where, have you guys listened to the new Chappelle stand-up?
Yeah.
Where, like he does an impression of a Chinese person that is probably problematic for a lot of people. But it's one of those things where sensitivity is now at loggerheads with art in a lot of ways, and I'm not pretentious enough to view podcasting as an art form, but at the same time, I think it is something that it becomes very difficult because the goalposts are moving a lot in our society
constantly.
And as three privileged white males, it doesn't make me mad being in that culture, but at the same time, it becomes. It's definitely a landmine that people need to at least acknowledge and not be angry if someone calls them out. But I think it's a learning process for a lot of people, and I think that teachable moment is very important. Mm. And if people would take that feedback more as a teachable moment instead of a indictment of their character, I think we would probably be in a better place. It's just people go overboard with that kind of stuff, and sadly, we kind of are in a spot where we have to really watch what we say. And that's too bad. But at the same time, I don't want anything that we put out or anyone puts out to offend somebody or make them feel less than.
Right.
I think the more you do it too, the easier it becomes. And the more you just change kind of permanently. And it can be limiting at times, I'm sure, for some people. But it doesn't take that much effort, I guess, to put a little bit of thought before.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is too that we don't realize it's really hard to see something when you're in it, right? So we're in a period of transition. So I'm not saying that it's going to completely, the hope is that, you know, all intolerance eventually disappears, but gradually people do learn. And then there's some stuff, like you say, the more we do it, the more it becomes standard. And so as people become more and more tolerant, eventually you get to look back and go, wow, look at back then, how this used to be and where we are now. And you don't even have to think about it. Yeah. It's a thing that you go, like, now there's things that you would never even think of saying, even as a joke. There are things right now that you'll say in your living room with your friends, right? Because it's funny. But there's even then, you'll stop yourself at certain points because you're like, okay, no, hey, that I know, because that one is so ingrained from so far back. So eventually what we're going through right now, these moving goalposts, these terms, these getting used to, oh, we can't, yes to this, no to that anymore, you know,
yes
that new term.
Yes to this if you're this, but no to this if you're this.
Yeah, I think that's going to settle. And because we're in the transition, it's tough and it's frustrating, but it's because it's not going to take 2 years. It's going to take 20, 30, 40 years. And eventually our grandchildren are going to be like, I can't believe people used to say, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, they're already, having kids help is a great help in navigating,
where we are
and stuff. It's a constant reminder because usually they're ahead of the curve.
Well,
that way.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is I had to go through kind of my writing portfolio for a project that's coming that eventually we can talk about on the air here. And going back into like my old food blog and into that stuff, I'm like, holy shit, I can't say like 75% of the things that I said in a food blog I get the idiot shivers like every single time I read anything that I like. My book, there's some offensive shit in my book, like straight up. And like, I'm just like, whoa, okay, well, like that one's not on the portfolio. And
wait, why not?
I have a copy of that book.
Yeah, you do.
I'm gonna keep that just in case.
Cancel me, man. Cancel my book. I get $2.28 every copy that sells on Amazon. It's great.
Nice. So this totally offensive book that should be banned.
If they banned it, I'd probably sell more copies.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm going for.
Braised Blue.
Year One. Yeah. Looking at old movies now, like you see like tropes that you're just like, oh, that was a thing. Like men could just slap women in movies.
Oh yeah, movies are just such a portal into the
time. Weren't they hysterical?
True. They would just calm down, right? Like, no, it's one of those things where you get a look into like where race relations were, where gender relations were, and you're just like, we're doing pretty good here.
And exactly, as crazy as it seems, you know, you can see progress. I mean, depending on where you're from, once again, from our point of view, gentlemen, we're like, we see progress. But of course, like, you know, you would ask other groups and they'd probably be like, yeah, but it's just not much progress. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, you're like, it's not as bad. Well, maybe because we don't see it like on the street every day here. But you know, I'm always surprised when I hear people like, they're like, oh no, like you can't, like there's still places where, you know, you don't want to be, you know, the black person walking into this place or whatever onto the street or this any minority really in places that aren't welcome.
In Calgary,
like, wow, that's insane. Well, in Calgary, unless you're Sam Jackson.
Well, yeah. Like it's something we said on the old podcast a lot, is like circling back to cannabis is. It's always been legal to smoke weed if you're white. Like,
yeah,
we've been outside of Villains. We have partaken as a bunch of white guys outside of Villains, yeah. And it was actually a mutual friend of all of ours who is of African origin, and he never partook when we would go during trivia nights. And it was just that he was just like, no, it's not really something I do publicly. And he kind of left it at that. But like thinking back on it now, it's just like, no, it's because he probably felt like he would get us in trouble or he would get in trouble.
You get himself in trouble, yeah.
And
how many times have you been smoking a joint and a cop has come up to you? And how many times of those have you gotten arrested? Zero, right? Like, it's like, they come up, what are you guys doing? Like, put it out. Do you have any more? No? All right.
Well, now it's legal. And now they can't even do that.
No, they can't even do that. But even when it was an illegal substance, they go, all right, move along, right? Yeah.
Stop around.
I can't imagine if I was standing in an alley with a different skin tone and having that happen, if the situation would have been the same.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a viewpoint into things. Like now that I've worked in the industry a little bit more and dealt with a lot of people of different backgrounds in the industry, it's just like the being able to see your own privilege, it becomes one of those things where you're just like, okay, well, like if I haven't looked at it this way, then I need to look at this in a whole bunch of different directions. And that's one of those things that I've really, really noticed is people have a lot of blind spots. And I think the more that you interact with more people, the less blind spots you have.
Mm-hmm.
But those blind spots and kind of those where we are, like, let's take a look. The election just happened yesterday. And I had a lot of people, friends of mine, who were hardcore NDP, who literally thought the NDP was going to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's fucking crazy. They had no chance. Like, you guys were in a bubble. Like, you didn't look at anything. Like, you didn't look at anything else. Like you, Chris Lewis won in your writing, as an example. Okay. There's people who were just like, oh, Tracy Ramsey has that in the bag. I'm like, no, she doesn't. Like, just, you guys are in your social media bubble of news, and you believe the things that you believe, and you
only follow. You're perpetuated by your own posts and your friends' posts.
And you only follow, like, and if somebody is against you, you attack. And then that person doesn't interact with you anymore because you attack. And I'm not saying that the NDP that has like that market cornered, everyone does. But it's one of those things where like because of business machinations, I had to be very, very aware of what's going on politically this election cycle. And looking at people's delusion about who they thought was going to win this election was like, okay, you guys are like, we have bubbles in this society and people are not getting outside of those bubbles. And this is mm-hmm. like people who were like legit, like angry, crying, mad. The NDP didn't win. And it's like, they had no chance, like no mathematical chance whatsoever. This was not going to happen. And there was people who were losing their ever loving shit over it. And it was mm-hmm. just like, yeah, like, I just had a cursory understanding of what was going on. I knew this wasn't going to happen. Like, what kind of bubble are you living in? And I think that we sit in those bubbles a lot. And I think
it's like a religious fervor.
It is. Well, and it's also, everyone wants to be right. Like, it feels good to be right. It feels good to feel like you're on the right side of something or mm-hmm. like the right side of an opinion or whatever it is. And that's like a little dopamine drip every time someone affirms and likes the thing that like you just said.
I think most of the voters can be summarized in what my daughter, who's 8 years old and doesn't really know what elections are, she's like, I want orange to win. But she because she wanted orange to win, guys. Yeah. Our orange. But she doesn't know. And I was like, well, why? Why do you want orange to win? I don't know. Exactly. I was like,
it boils
it down. But some people was that. Some people was like, I want this color to win no matter what. I don't care what they stand for. I just trust that it's, you know, because some people just don't look into it, right? You trust the name. You trust the brand. You're like, well, we've always, you know, like they say, our family's always voted liberal, so I'm going to vote liberal too, right?
Yep.
Without looking, because you trust the brand name. So,
death to blue.
Death to blue.
Forever.
Death to all colors.
Orange, black, you glad we didn't come in last?
What?
The Black Party.
Black Panther Party? I voted Black Panther
Party. No, I just meant, like, if there was a party that was just, their color was just black.
They're like pirates.
Yeah.
Just like pirates. Yeah.
The Rhino Party of Canada.
Don't we have a Rhino? Yeah, we do have the Rhino Party.
Yeah, right? Maxime Bernier lost his seat because of a Rhino Party candidate. Nice. Whose name was Maxime Bernier. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Yeah, so
Maxime, I don't really follow politics too much. But
so Maxime Bernier, who's not a great human being.
No.
He ran in his Quebec riding and somebody named Maxime Bernier ran against him as the Rhino Party candidate and he peeled a couple hundred votes off and that's what he ended up losing by.
No, that is fabulous. That is fabulous. Completely legal. That's great. Poor other guy who now has to be he was like, oh shit, now I have a job.
Oh no, he didn't win. He just peeled enough votes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he ran like a torpedo campaign. It was
perfect.
It's something
I wonder if somebody went out just looking for another Maxime Bernier.
Thank like, you, Maxime Bernier.
Just open up the phone book.
Also, fuck you, Maxime Bernier. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's we're in this weird place where like popular culture and politics and everything is just mixing and mingling. And like I think it kind of harkens back to what we were talking about originally, that like anything can be a Halloween movie at this mm-hmm. point. Like people will make an argument for something being a thing when there's like almost no evidence to it. So I'm behind. Like you want Terms of Endearment to be a Halloween movie? Cool.
I'm sure. In. Sure.
Shirley MacLaine's in. I'm in.
We're all in.
Trump is president. Elon Musk dated Grimes. Like you know what I mean?
Idiocracy is basically coming true. So that's another Halloween movie. That's scary.
We're definitely in a simulation.
Wouldn't that be the greatest? All of a sudden, like you die, and then you like, and then
that's my
you
theory.
Take off like an Oculus Rift type shit, whatever helmet, and you're like, and then you just go, oh guys, okay, that was really good, really well done.
Two aliens really in an arcade. It's like your friends and family are around you on your deathbed.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you so much. Blah blah blah, and then. Zorlak! 20,000 points on Human Simulator. That was dope.
Finish him.
Oh, it feels like an actual human's lifetime.
This is the third time I've played this, and every time it ends like the ending of New Heart. I don't fucking get it.
I don't get it. It's stupid.
That's for all my millennial listeners who would get a New Heart reference.
That's for the post-MASH.
Unless you're talking about Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart's show. The last episode of Bob Newhart's show had like a twist ending that was, it questioned the reality of the entire show.
Yeah, exactly. Because he had another show. Wasn't it that he had another show before?
Yeah.
And so he wakes up on the set of the other show.
Yeah.
And the new show was a dream of the guy in the old show.
The original Bob Newhart show.
Was it called Old Heart?
I don't know why I really like that one. Is it called Old Heart?
Bob Oldheart. I think that's all the time we have.
Where are we on time right now?
55 minutes, yeah, that's 55 pretty good. Seconds. That's
pretty good. I think we covered every topic.
Yeah. I had a lot of
fun. Except sports, but fuck sports, right?
Well, like we talk about MASH. See, here's the thing. I like sports, but I don't like teams. I'm sports agnostic. So I think
that, you're talking about water sports, though. Let's.
Yes. I have hard limits. It's just not one of them. I like sports purely from the point of view of making fun of people who like sports. Like I like being up on it, and like people who just live and die with a team and get so into it and are so over the top of it. And I'm just like, that's fucking stupid.
You know what happened to me the other day? It was Sunday, and I was like watching everybody's posts about like sitting around, and I made soup for today. It's football day, and oh, nachos, it's football day, and I can't wait to sit here for 4 hours. It's football day, and I have like kids and shit, stuff to do. And I was like, man, I wish I had a passion that took like all day to do. You know what I mean? Like, I know guys who are going to the pub to watch like Manchester United versus Liverpool or whatever, and they're at the pub at like 9:30 because kickoff's at 11, and you're like, and you know, and they're there, and I was like, oh, I need one of those.
I do like the sense of community, though. That's one thing I envy.
Agree.
It's neat to see.
You want to feel like you're in like a National Socialist rally, but you don't want to be part of that party.
You don't have to go to war or something. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's why I love finals, like the Stanley Cup finals. If someone is like, hey, we're having a Stanley Cup party at my house, you want to come? I'm like, yeah, I don't even know who's in it, but I will go because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then you'll get into it.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. The Raptors finals, man. I was like, we did them at my local bar, and it was like, my buddy's there, is a huge sports fan, but like you, he likes sports. Doesn't like, he's a big gambler, right? So it's not like he just follows the sport everywhere. But that was happening there. So there was like four of us just every night just watching. And I'd have to go to my wife and be like, hey, so the Raptors game is on time. And she'd be like, what? Because I'm like the Knots.
I'm asking permission. I'm like,
can I go to watch the game at the bar? She's like, yeah.
We were in Toronto for the Raptors.
Yeah, I went to see a game at, I think it's called, it was like Dog and Bear or something like that.
A bar. Sure.
But I got to see the game in a bar in Toronto. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, that must be.
It's the third game.
Naomi and I did like Jurassic Park. It was right near our place. So yeah. It was crazy. It was fun times.
Talk about we talk about the excitement of going to like a Stanley Cup party. Now imagine being in the city, like you guys did that. You were in the city that actually housed this event.
Mob mentality.
It was hard to get Uber Eats delivered. That's for sure. That made things different.
It was what, sir?
It was hard to get Uber Eats to deliver. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. Hungry.
Yeah.
You should have used served.
Yes.
Served.
So that's it? We're good?
I think we're good. Yeah. I think we're good. Thanks, folks.
This is Francois, great. Francois,
thanks for coming on.
Have me anytime.
Thank you, Francois.
We ranged all over the place. It was a good time. So, hopefully we can get this out by Halloween. I was going to say Christmas, but...
My Halloween.
Before Halloween.
Guys, get out there and vote.
That's right. Wait a second. Yeah.
American Idol season's turning back up. Get out and vote. America, you have a voice.
Enjoy your back to school, guys.
So yeah.
If you get this out before Halloween, listeners should be aware that on October 28th, I'm doing a Halloween trivia.
Yes.
On Monday at the Imagine Cinemas in Lakeshore. And it's going to be on the big screen. Like, they're putting me in one of the rooms with like the big comfy seat. And my trivia is going to be on the big screen, guys.
That's awesome.
That's all like Halloween movies. So, yeah. So,
smoke a big cone.
Oh, my God. For real. Because they don't, it's like the one theater that doesn't serve booze. So, I'm like telling everyone, like, if you smoke weed, make sure you bring a lot of it. Because they're opening a concession, too. So, you can have theater popcorn and stuff.
Crush an edible.
Right.
Before you go in.
Ooh, yeah.
Your scores will just slowly drop.
That's right. It's like, you guys did really good in round one. Round two, it was like half of you weren't even here.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we're gonna get this out before.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, cheers.
God bless.
Cheers, guys. We'll be right back.
podcast was brought to you by the Cannabis Media Collective. The media contributors within the Cannabis Media Collective do our very best to remain as accurate as possible, but take no responsibility for any inaccurate details or facts. If a story interests you, we're glad to have brought it to your attention, but please take the time to research the details for yourself.